ॐ मुखं करोति वाचालं भङ्गुं लङ्घायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। ऐ सल्यूट् कृष्ण दि एम्बोडिमेण्ट् आफ् सुप्रीम् ब्लिस् थ्रू हूस् ग्रेस् the lame scale mountain and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Verse 17. Krishna says, my divine Maya is inscrutable, very difficult to transcend. Those who take refuge in me, I help them to cross this ocean of Maya, delusion, darkness, ignorance. Then he said, very few people worship me because they are attached to my Maya. They do not care for me. They love my Maya. They are happy with their enjoyment. They are happy with their worldly things. That is my Maya. But they do not call on me because they do not know who am I, who I am. Then he said, four types of people worship me. First, the afflicted, the sufferer, sick people. They worship God so that they can get rid of disease, sickness, illness. The second kind of people are seekers. They have curiosity. They want to know something beyond the sense plane. They have read the scriptures. They have got lesson from the teachers. And now they are trying to know something more. They also worship God. The third kind of people are Sakam devotees. They worship God with a view to fulfilling their desires. They have so many desires. They want to fulfill them through God. They know God is the wish-fulfilling tree. Whatever you will pray, He will fulfill your prayer. The fourth kind of devotee is Jnani, the real lover. They love God, but they do not seek anything in return. Love for love's sake. Now, Krishna is eulogizing that fourth category. Tisham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir visishyate. Priyo hi jnanino uttartham aham sacha mama priyaha. Of these, the wise man, ever steadfast and devoted to the one alone, is the best. For supremely dear am I to the man of wisdom, and he is dear to me. Jnani, jnani means actually wise man, the man of knowledge, an experienced, illumined soul. Krishna put two adjectives before jnani, nitya yukta eka bhakti. Nitya yukta means his mind is always absorbed in me. He always thinks of me. He is my real lover. There is a beautiful story in the Ramayana, the epic of the Hindus. Rama and Lakshmana were going towards Ceylon, Sri Lanka, to rescue Sita, Ravana, the demon, kidnapped Rama's wife. So he went there to rescue his wife. On the way, he saw a crow was crying. Caw, caw. Then Lakshmana, his brother, said, "Brother, I think the crow is thirsty. Let us give some water to that poor creature." Rama said, "You go and ask him that what does he want." Lakshmana went to the crow and asked, "What is wrong with you? Please tell us. We shall try to save your life." The crow said, "I am thirsty, but I cannot drink water." "Why?" "Because that will take away my time from my chanting of Lord's name. I am constantly repeating Lord's name, Rama, 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 God's name. The moment I shall go to drink water, that time will go away. I shall not get any opportunity to call on God. So it is better to die than stopping the chanting of the name of the Lord. It is an example of eko bhakti, steadfast devotion. If you think of God, you will get the entire wealth of God. The children get the wealth of their parents. So if you can connect your mind on God, and if you think that God is your father, all wealth of God is yours. Nitya yukta. The second adjective is eko bhakti. That example, that crow's example, is nitya yukta. His mind is absorbed in the thought of God. Eko bhakti. Bhakti means devotion, steadfast devotion to God. According to Vedantic tradition, there is a conception of ishtonishta, steadfast devotion for the chosen ideal. It is very important to grow in spiritual life. Today your chosen ideal Christ, next day Krishna, next day Buddha, next day Ramakrishna, you will never get any acquaintance with a particular ideal. It is better to stick in one place. As Sri Ramakrishna said, if you dig water, if you want to dig a well for water, dig in one place. Suppose you have dug for some place, a little, and then you found a big piece of stone, and again you stopped and started to dig another place. In this way, you will dig constantly, and it is unending. If you find a stone, break the stone, go inside, you will get the water. That is called ishtonishta, steadfast devotion to the chosen ideal. There is a beautiful story also in the Ramayana. The Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu, the great god, came to help Rama and Lakshmana when they were arrested by Ravana's son. When Rama and Lakshmana are released, Garuda prayed to Rama, "Lord, I know you are an incarnation of God, but I know well that you are Vishnu, the great god also. Could you show me your Vishnu form?" Rama said, "I can take that form, but my devotee will be hurt. Hanuman, the great devotee, Mahavir, will be hurt because I am his chosen ideal. If I change my form, he will get pain." Then this Garuda, the great bird, said, "Lord, I shall expand my two wings and you come inside my wings and give me that form, my chosen form, that is Vishnu. Immediately he expanded his wings and Rama took the form of Vishnu. Hanuman saw it from a distance and he uttered a mantra. Srinathe Januki Nathe Abhidhu Paramatmani Tatapi Mamo Sarvasya Rama Kamala Lochana. I know the husband of Lakshmi, Vishnu, and the husband of Sita, Rama, are both one and identical. But my all in all is Rama, not Vishnu. It is a beautiful example for Ishtanishtha, steadfast devotion, love for the chosen ideal, that expedites the growth of the spiritual aspirant. Ekunishtha. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eko bhaktir bishishyate. He excels among all the devotees, the afflicted, the seekers, the desirous person who wants to fulfill his desires. But this person excels because his love is without motive, without self-interest. We love moon. Not necessarily we want that moon should come into my room. Seeing the beauty, we love the beauty of full moon. Similarly, this person loves God just for love's sake. I love you. I do not expect anything for you. We understand love. Mostly in the worldly plane, our love is motivated. Pure, unselfish love only we find in mother and child's relationship. Only in that love you will find very little selfishness. Otherwise, all love is mixed with selfishness. Exception may be there. But seldom you will find pure, unselfish, unmotivated love. Priyo hi jnanino vaityartham aham sachame priyaha. I am very dear to the jnani, and jnani is very dear to me. Why? Because I am the Atman, the self of the jnani. They love me. And I also love them. Because in spirit we are one. You see, in this world, people pray, desire the things of the world. They know, they feel that those things will give joy to them. But those things are made of Maya, of God. Whatever you see in this world are nothing but the objects of Maya. They evolve from Maya. So they do not find God. But if you want God, you will get God as well as His Maya, His wealth. Sab chhodke sab paave. If you give up everything, you will get everything. Once Rabia was asked, a Sufi saint, how did you attain such an exalted state? She replied, by losing everything. I gave up everything for God. Now God gave me everything to me. Look, Christ, Ramakrishna, they renounced everything and all wealth, all power came to them. Enjoyment, even liberation, is bondage. Don't seek liberation. Don't seek enjoyment. Seek only God. I want you and you alone. You see, I shall tell you later, the problem of prayer. We sometimes get caught. We are trapped by our own desires, by our own prayers. I shall tell you later. Next verse, Krishna says, Udara sarve evaite jnani tu atma eva me matam asthita sai yukta atma. mamiva anuttamam guti. Noble indeed are they all, but the man endowed with wisdom, I deem to be my very self. For steadfast in mind, he remains fixed in me alone as the supreme goal. Here Krishna says there are three types of people in this world. The first, bhogis, who only understand enjoyment, nothing else. They don't care for God. If they get good food, good enjoyment, they are happy. The Mahabharata says, in eating, in sleeping, in procreating children, men and animals are same. We eat, we sleep, we procreate children, they also do the same thing. Dharmena hina pushubi samanaha. What is the difference between man and animal? Man can practice dharma, religion, the animals cannot. We have the discriminative faculty, mind, intellect. The animals don't have those faculties. They cannot discriminate. So, Krishna says, Udara Sarvevite, all these four types of devotees I mentioned, they worship God. All are good people, no doubt. But Jnani, this person, is very special. As I said, three types of people. First type, they only understand enjoyment. Second, they are 2 feet on both sides. 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in God. One foot in the world and 1 foot in God. They hold both, yoga and bhoga. And another kind is yogi. They do not go in that enjoyment side at all. So Krishna says, the first type of people are abhakta. They are non-devotees. They do not care for God. Second, shakam bhakta. They worship God. At the same time, they have a little desire for the world too. And the third kind of devotees, they do not care for the world. They only want God. Next verse. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavanvam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlava. It is a beautiful verse. Krishna says, at the end of many births, the man of wisdom seeks refuge in me, realizing that Vasudeva, Krishna, is all. Rare indeed is such a high-souled person. Bahunam janmanamante. It is a beautiful word. After many births, you know, people go through evolution. Vedanta believes in evolution. That this life, perhaps, you accumulated a little virtue. Next life, more. Next life, more. Next life, more. In this way, you have tremendous amount, volume of virtue. With that virtue is in your mind, and that virtue will force you to go toward God. That Krishna says. Bahunam janmanamante, after many lives, after practicing spiritual disciplines in many lives, after doing good karma, many lives after doing good karma, these devotees accumulate virtue. And endowed with those virtues, he calls on God. Mam prapadyate, how? Pratyagatmanam pratyakshata. He sees that Atman, the Self, the indwelling God within himself. He sees, because his mind is so pure that he gets the reflection of the Atman, reflection of God, Christ, in his mind. Later on, he, after seeing within himself, he starts to see God in every being, in everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti, He sees God, Krishna, Christ in everything, in every being. So Mahatma Sudurlava, such a soul is very rare. That is the culmination of Vedantic experience. Sarvabhute Brahma Darshan. See God in everything. That is the culmination of Vedantic experience. Example. We find in Sri Ramakrishna's life, after realizing God, he went to pick flowers. He went to pick the leaves of bell tree. When he picked, he broke the stem of the flower, he noticed the tree was in pain. When he picked the leaves from the bell tree, he noticed perhaps the tree was bleeding. It is full of consciousness. When he was walking over the grass lawn, he experienced the lawn, the grasses were in pain. He could not walk over the grass. He could not pick flowers. He could not pick leaves. He came to the shrine. He saw the spoon, the water, the door sill. Everything is saturated with God consciousness. Then he was in his room. Two boatmen were fighting in the bathing ghat. And one boatman slapped on the back of another boatman. And Sri Ramakrishna cried out in his room. Hridaya, his nephew, came and said, "Uncle, I see red marks on your back. What is the matter? Who beat you? Tell me. I shall kill him right now." Sri Ramakrishna said, "Hridaya, nobody has killed me. Nobody has beaten me. You know, two boatmen are fighting. One boatman hit the other one and that mark has come on my back." Hridaya was dumbfounded. "I have never heard such thing in my life, uncle." It is called Sarvabhute Brahma Darshan. Experience God in everything, in every being. It is possible. That Sri Ramakrishna, that Krishna said, "Sa Mahatma Sudurlava." Such high-souled one are very few in this world. Your pain is my pain. Your happiness is my happiness. This identification comes to a soul when he experiences the Atman, the Self. He sees God in everything. When Sri Ramakrishna saw those street girls in Calcutta, he said, "Mother, you are here in another form." He used to see Divine Mother in every being. One day, the maid servant of Dakshineshwar Kali Temple came in his mind, he noticed he was worshipping the Divine Mother and immediately saw the maid servant was on the altar. He said, "Mother, you want to take worship as a maid servant today? All right, I shall worship you." Sri Ramakrishna was an amazing spiritual phenomenon. Swami, could you tell us this phenomenon from the Vedantic standpoint? There is a mantra in the Chandogya Upanishad. Pacharambanam vikaro namodheyam mrittika ittiva sittam. Whatever things you see in this world is nothing but Brahman. For example, you see the clay pitcher, clay cup, clay saucer, clay dish, clay glass. All these things are made of clay. Clay is the only reality. All these modifications are not real. You can break those things and again they will turn into clay. Clay is the one single entity. Similarly, Brahman is this one single entity and all these names and form are the modifications of that Maya, Brahman. Next verse. कामैस्त्वैस्कामैस्त्वैस्त्वैहृतज्ञानाः प्रपद्यन्ते अन्यदेवताः तं तं नियममास्थाय प्रकृत्या नियता स्वया. But those whose discrimination has been led astray by various desires resort to their deities, to other deities, following diverse rituals, constrained by their own natures. I want to be learned. What shall I do? I shall worship the goddess of learning. I want to be rich. What shall I do? I shall worship the goddess of fortune. If I want success, I shall worship the god of success, Ganesha. If I want power, I shall worship Shiva. If I want to conquer death, I shall worship Shiva. If I want victory against my enemy, I shall worship Durga. If I want wealth, I shall also worship Kubera. They have many gods. These people, those who have desires, they worship all those respective gods to fulfill their desires. You see, all these gods are one. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a mantra. Koti Deva, how many gods? 33. Koti Deva, how many gods? 11. How many? 6. How many? 5. How many? 4. At last, God is one, without a second. You see, they have various conceptions, dualistic conception, non-dualistic conception. The dualists, they want to establish some kind of personal gods. The non-dualists, I am Brahman. So they have various conceptions. Do you know why? Because all people have chance to relate, to connect themselves with God. Very few people understand impersonal God, God without form, without name. Anyhow, kama is toirhita gyanam, and the desire robs the minds of these people. So they worship various gods to fulfill their desires. Krishna says, in the next verse, Krishna says, Yo yo yam yam tunum bhakta shraddhaya orchitum ichhati taisya taisya chalam shraddham tamima vidhamyaham. Whatever may be the form a devotee seeks to worship with faith, in that form alone I make his faith unwavering. Because if that person wants to worship the god of wealth, the goddess of learning, the god of success, Krishna says, I add shraddha, devotion, faith in the minds of those people so that they can connect themselves with God. At last, in the next verse he says, Sataya shraddhaya yukta staisya aradhanam ihate lavate jatatah kaman mahi mayoiva bhitan hitan. Possessed by that faith, he worships that form and from it attains his desires, which are in reality granted by me alone. I am the Supreme God. I am the dispenser of the result of action. I fulfill all their desires. But they worship in diversified ways to different gods, but they do not know. I am the only one behind all those gods also. I am the Supreme Reality. I pervade in gods, I pervade in human beings, I pervade in everything, in every being. These ignorant people do not know my cosmic nature. I shall read an interesting commentary on this verse by Eknath Eshwaran. In the Hindu tradition, many of the forces which motivate our behavior are represented as gods and goddesses. There is a great deal of practical wisdom to this because these personifications give us a vivid picture of these forces which all of us can understand. For example, people who build their lives on the pursuit of money are called devotees of Kubera, the god of wealth, who lives in a temple of 24 karat gold studded with sapphires, diamonds, and rubies. Each time we play the stock market or switch jobs for better pay, we are paying homage to Kubera in hopes that he will grant our desire for wealth. Kubera's devotees see opportunities for making money everywhere, and people can become so driven by their desire that they will find ways of increasing their bank account even if it means that someone else has to suffer. The pleasure seeker too has his god in the Hindu pantheon, Kama, the god of lust, who is portrayed as an archer with five arrows tipped with flowers, one for every sense organ, which he shoots at the hearts of his devotees. It is a comment on our times that a man's or a woman's fancy for Kama is no longer limited to spring. Worship is continuous throughout the year. These two desires, for money and for pleasure, are the source of most of our confusion in the modern world. This constant clamor, "I want this, I want that," makes Buddha's job impossible. Buddha means intellect. He is supposed to be listening to the Atman and making intelligent choices, but all he can hear is Kubera and Kama trying to get him to go in 100 different directions at once. After some time of this, we can't even imagine that there is a guiding principle in our lives at all, and we wonder why there is so little purpose in what we do. In the West, it is often the mass media that create and perform daily worship of these gods of money and sex. Now a third god is being added to the altar, the god of violence. The violence on television and in films is more than just a temporary form of excitement. The senses of murder and assault get deep into our consciousness. Pleasure is glamorized, but instead of bringing joy, the drive for pleasure is leading to assault and molestation. Money is made the goal of life, but instead of bringing fulfillment, the craving for money and material possessions is spreading disregard for people, property, and resources. Gradually, we have become accustomed to living in a climate of fear. Stop thief. Fashions such as handbags that sound an alarm and coats with purses sewn into their seams are featured in the stores. Homeowners and apartment dwellers are investing in elaborate expensive alarms, closed circuit television, ultrasonic sensors, and computer operated locks. These are advertised as security systems, but they should really be called insecurity systems because they only increase the fear of those who use them. Those of us who have grown up under the influence of the mass media deserve sympathy and help, for it is very rare to have someone around to give us a higher alternative in life. This cannot be done by books or workshops or lectures. It has to be communicated through personal example, which is what Vijnana means. We cannot just settle for the intellectual approach, which is to analyze the problem and then go home. We have to show in our own lives that these spiritual ideals work. That is what Gandhi did. His whole life was a showcase for his experiments with non-violence, not just in politics, but in education and economics and many other areas too. And it had such an impact that in the long run, I think historians will refer to our times not as the nuclear age, but as the age of Gandhi. After all, the discovery of nuclear power only marks another revolution in technology. Gandhi's life marks a revolution of an entirely different order, for it showed that the problems we have been trying to deal with by manipulating atoms and manipulating nations can be solved for good by transforming ourselves. Once, when a foreign correspondent asked Gandhi for a message, he could take back to his paper, Gandhi wrote on a scrap of paper, "My life is my message." In this sense, all of us are teachers in the example we give others. Though often not in a particularly positive way, the man who lives for profit is a full-scale advertisement for making money the goal of life. He talks constantly about diversified investments. He vacations in Monte Carlo and Las Vegas. He dreams about Dow Jones Index. Everything he does advertises his way of life. His life is an open book for anyone who cares to observe it. And those who observe carefully will see how the lust for money robs him of his capacity to love. On the other hand, the man or woman who lives for others is a constant reminder of the love and wisdom that come from selfless living. People like this do not need to preach or attract attention to themselves. We cannot help being drawn to them and drawing inspiration from their life. He wrote a beautiful commentary about it. Yo yo yam yam tanu bhakta shraddhay orchitumachyati taisya taisya achalam shraddham tami vad vidadhamyam. I, Krishna, I am God. Whatever people ask, I fulfill their desires. But if that prayer must come with Shraddha, with faith, with steadfast devotion. You see, I lying down on my torn blanket, I am telling, "Lord, make me a millionaire, Lord, make me a millionaire, Lord, make me a millionaire." I shall never be a millionaire because that prayer is not connected with my Shraddha, with my faith, with my love. It is a barren prayer, you see. If I want to be a millionaire, I will have to exert myself. My body, my mind, my whole thinking should go with my prayer. Then the prayer will be fulfilled. You see, we're sitting in front of the shrine, "Oh Lord, give me samadhi, Lord, give me samadhi, Lord, give me samadhi." And the others, when I come out from the shrine, I have so many desires. It does not go that way. There is a beautiful Greek story. Midas was a very successful person. He wanted a boon from God. "Lord, I want to be rich. Give me a boon." You see, gold is the most precious metal, that whatever I shall touch, it should be gold. God gave him, fulfilled his boon, gave him that boon. So, early in the morning, at night he got that boon. Early in the morning he got up and he went to clean his teeth. First he touched his toothbrush. Immediately it turned into gold. He could not clean his teeth, you see. Then he was thinking, "Well, all right, but I got gold. I may not clean my teeth." Then he was thinking, "Let me go for breakfast." So his wife gave him breakfast, and first he touched the cup of coffee. The coffee cup immediately turned into gold. He could not touch the, what is called, toast and other things, you know. So he was thinking, what to do? Everything becomes gold. Then he was, "All right, I may suffer from a little hunger. It is all right, but I got gold." Then he went to his backyard and was watching his flower garden. He saw beautiful roses. Ah, beautiful roses. He touched this rose. Immediately the rose became gold. Then he was thinking, "Oh, I shall be very rich man. Whatever I shall touch, I shall be gold. It will be gold." In the meantime, his daughter was saying, Dad, how are you? So at that time he forgot his boon, you know, seeing that beautiful, lovely girl. Immediately he grabbed her and, you know, wanted to take her on his lap. And the moment he touched that girl, you know, that girl also turned into gold. And he could not bear, he could not take it. He immediately fell on the ground and cried, "Lord, please forgive me, take back your boon. I cannot bear it anymore." My, that beautiful living daughter has become a statue of gold. What shall I do with that gold? This gold cannot give me happiness. So you see, our desires take us to all directions. We really don't know what we want. Sri Ramakrishna said, "Be careful when you pray from God. Kalpataru, God is wish-fulfilling tree. Whatever you will ask, he will fulfill it." Sri Ramakrishna told a parable that one traveler was passing through a desert. He was dead tired. He was thinking, oof, what to do? At last he found a tree and he was resting under that tree, and that tree was a wish-fulfilling tree. Sitting under that tree, he was thinking, well, if somebody give me some food and drink, I shall be very happy. Immediately food and drink came to him. And he was thinking, oof, my legs are aching. You know, if a young girl comes and gives me a little massage, I shall be happy. So a young girl came and gave him massage. He was happy. I think, oof, how happy I am. But you know, if a tiger comes now, and what will happen? Immediately a tiger came and ate him up. Because that tree was a wish-fulfilling tree. Whatever you will think under that tree, that thing will fulfill. That thing will come to you. Sri Ramakrishna cautioned his devotees, be careful. Don't pray everything from God. It is better to say, Lord, please do what is good for me. It is better to pray that way. I want you and you alone in my life, Lord. But very few people pray that way. They will bump their head on the altar, Lord, give me more money, diseaseless body, long life, this, that, more property. That is human nature. Krishna says in the verse 23, antabattu phalam tesham tadbhavatyalpa atyalpa meidosham devan devajajo janti madbhakta janti mamoti mamopi. But infinite is the result gained by these men of small minds. Those who worship the deities go to the deities. Those who worship me come to me. Krishna says these people, those who ask, desire for worldly things, they are small-minded people. They get them. They reach those gods and fulfill, and those gods fulfill their desires. But those who want me, they reach me. I reach them. Antavattu phalam tesham. The results of those prayers are short-lived. It does not take long time to spend $1 million. You go here, buy one or two houses, buy furniture, go, within a few hours you can spend $1 million. Because the result of this prayer is very short-lived. Only alpa medha, medha means intellect. Those who have very poor intellect, they seek these temporary things. Devan devajajo janti, the worshipper of gods, reach gods. But the worshipper of me reaches me.
Abhyaktam vyaktimapannam mannante mama buddhayah param bhavam ajananta mama abhyayam anuttamam.
Not knowing my supreme nature, immutable and transcendent, foolish men think that I, the unmanifest, am endowed with a manifest form.
Abhyaktam vyaktim apannam manyante mam abuddhaya. Means ignorant people, men of small intellect, think that I am an ordinary human being. They do not know my supreme nature. It is undecaying, immutable, supreme, formless. In the Mahabharata, Krishna said to Narada, you see this, my human form, I can vanish this form at any moment. I am that supreme reality. In the Drona Parvam of the Mahabharata, Krishna said to Arjuna, Arjuna, listen, I have four forms. I am working through those four manifestations. My first manifestation is, Ami Guru Narayan. I am the Guru, I am the teacher of all human beings. Sitting in the intellect of human beings, I guide them. I illumine their intellect as God consciousness. I am the teacher. That is my first manifestation. Second manifestation is, I am Dharma. I am the witness of all beings. You do anything good, God is watching. You do anything bad, God is watching. I am the witness. I am the Dharma. I am the Shakshi, witness of everything. And I also give results of their actions. I give the fruits of their work. Third, I work as an avatar, I take a human form so that I can help people. That is my third form. Fourth form, at the time of cosmic dissolution, I am absorbed in my yoga nidra, sleep of yoga. At that time, I am in my own real form, without name, without form. So Krishna says, if people do not know my real nature, they think I am a human being, I was born from such and such parents, they do not know me. You see, Christ also manifested his divinity many times. I am that I am. All right, you can ask me questions. You see, there is a difference between Jiva and Ishvara. Avatar, God, is the sum total of the jivas, individual beings. He is different. According to Vedanta, Sri Ramakrishna said to Vivekananda at deathbed, he who was Rama, he who was Krishna, in this very form as Ramakrishna, but not from your Vedantic standpoint. What does it mean? In Vedantic standpoint, individual being can be united with Brahman, but he cannot be God. Each individual being is abhakta Brahma, potentially divine. When the attributes, adjuncts are removed, this individual consciousness merges into cosmic consciousness. But God consciousness, God is different. Let me give an example. Chitakasha, Gehakasha, Ahakasha. This room is space, this United States space, and the vast cosmic space. See this gradation. Consciousness is in everything, in every being. It is in individual being, it is in God also. But God consciousness is
as consciousness, both are same, but as power, there is a difference. God is the master of Maya. The individual jiva is a slave of Maya. There is a difference. God comes with a mission. When God takes a human form, He comes with a mission. All human beings are not the same. Christ and John and Ram and ordinary people, they are not same. Sure. Let me tell you, it is a very vital question. I had to answer that question in many places. You see, though I am born in a Hindu family, you are born in a Christian family. So you think that your ideal is Christ. I think my ideal, my father's ideal, they are followers of Krishna. I was thinking Krishna should be my natural ideal, because I am brought up that family in that religion. But I found, you see, only Guru knows which one will be your right ideal. When I was brought up in my family, my mother's side, they are worshippers of the Divine Mother. My father's side, they are worshippers of Krishna, Vishnu. So I was mixed up, in my mother's side and father's side. But I noticed when I read about Sri Ramakrishna, I was overwhelmed. I see that this ideal suits my system very much. And I noticed that, in Ramakrishna, I find Christ, I find Buddha, I find Divine Mother, I find Krishna, I find everybody. He is the embodiment of all avatars, all divine incarnations. So I thought that if I get this person in my life, I shall get everybody. You see, if I take Christ, I am not getting Krishna, I am not getting Buddha, I am not getting... My life will enjoy variety. You see, on Krishna's birthday, I can sing, I can dance. On Buddha's birthday, I can meditate. On Christ's birthday, I can enjoy Christ's message, Christ's teachings. Means I can enjoy variety. Why should I be one-sided? Hey, this person's ideal suits me so well. I gave up my. I am the first person who broke the family tradition because they have their family gurus. My father and my mother, they had to take initiation from their family guru. As when I broke my tradition, my third brother came, my elder brother came to Ramakrishna order to take initiation. My four aunts, my several cousins all went to the Ramakrishna order. Now whole dynasty is going to the Ramakrishna order.
I
worship the family deity, but you see, we had to take another mantra at that time, Gayatri. It is every day we'll have to worship that Gayatri, a deity, goddess of wisdom. We had to meditate on that.
Are you saying at home before?
Before I became a monk.
Now, then what's that? No. Before you accepted, that was the foundation?
I believe that was the foundation. Really, it was the foundation.
Does that really help to develop your devotion?
Undoubtedly. Moreover, that with family tradition also, that worship of Krishna, we had car festival once a year. Every morning there is worship, every evening there is Vesper. We used to bow down, when we are 4 or 5 years old, from that time on. So nothing is lost. You see that Christian tradition, this tradition, enjoy variety. Later on, you will feel good. I can tell you from my experience, as some people say, Swami, we are, changing the ideal. Well, I also changed my ideal. You see, they are very orthodox people. They have that one point, that old orthodoxy was there. But later on, I found that my,
You know, my family people, they used to read the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Even now, their home is full of Ramakrishna Vivekananda's books. You see, I tell you frankly, this Vedantic ideal is just like antibiotic. It suits all types of system. If you have any kind of disease, they will give you an antibiotic. So it is not only the, you see, homeopathic medicine is, you know, a Brahmania, Nags Bhumika, a Christ drop, and, you know, a Jewish drop, you know, this Hindu drop and Islamic drop, you know, medicine. Vedanta is just, you know, antibiotic. Boom. It will destroy all types of disease in your body. So that is the way I took it. And it is really fun. You can love Christ, you can love Krishna. Otherwise, followers of Jesus will say, well, those who will not worship Jesus, they will have to go to hell. Just see. I heard one church, they say, only these 575 people, only 575 members of our church will go to heaven, and none else. Hallelujah. Yes. Only the 575 members of my church will go to heaven. All else, just doomed forever. Anyhow, Lord save me. Om asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrittor ma amritam gamaya, aviravirma yedhi, rudra yatte dakshinamukam, tinamam pahi nityam, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihim. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence.